May the Lord help us to begin our worship here today by singing hymn number 237, the first part. 237. Let us ask the important question, brethren, be not too secure, what it is to be a Christian, how we may our hearts assure. Vain is all our best devotion, if on false foundations built. True religion's more than notion, something must be known and felt. Hymn 237, the first part.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word two portions. Firstly, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 11, and then the prophecy of Jeremiah part of chapter 23. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty hand shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. We turn now to the prophecy of Jeremiah and read part of chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, the first 8 verses. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O thou great and eternal Lord God, have mercy and compassion upon us, we pray. Enable us now rightly in reverence and godly fear to call upon thee. Prompt us, Lord, for indeed, as thy servant the apostle acknowledged it, we know not what to pray for as we hope. Oh, we pray, Lord, for thy gracious presence, the help of thy blessed Spirit, that there may be granted to us, even this afternoon, a little real worship in spirit and in truth. That thou wouldst, Lord, grant that inpouring, that outpouring, the opening of a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And Lord, the opening of the door of hearing, to hear it in faith. Oh Lord, do make us true believers this afternoon. Do make us true penitents, true broken-hearted mourners over our sin and after thee. Do lift our souls above this dust that we cleave to. Grant us, we pray, the power of thy resurrection, Lord Jesus. Oh, may the Son of God, may the Father be glorified. Blessed Spirit, do lift up the Son of Man before our eyes, the eye of faith. We thank thee for thy mercies that bring us safely together this afternoon, for thy watchful care over us on the roads, and at every time until now. Then we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us with a thankful heart for the mercies of another year, as we meet on this annual occasion. O Lord, how swiftly that year has passed. And yet, Lord, with innumerable mercies thou hast loaded us day by day. Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And to thy people, Lord, there has been a sufficiency granted, so that we have lacked nothing. But we mourn, Lord, our poverty. Lord, we mourn our barrenness, our unfruitfulness. We mourn, Lord, that Zion continues in such a low state. And yet, Lord, we would thank thee for the truth that she is still thine, graven on the palms of thy hands, and her walls are continually before thee. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou would show us our names graven on the palms of thy hands. And, Lord, set us as a seal upon thine heart and upon thine arm. Oh, seal us, Lord, as thine. Oh, Lord, we do pray for this sweet assurance, that we may say with the spouse, my beloved is mine, and I am his. We pray, Lord, for the gospel this afternoon. Thou knowest those in this congregation that feel to need it. Those that have had in some measure the commandment come, sin revive and they die. And oh, how they need the gospel. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant it, the power of God unto salvation. Oh, we plead, Lord, put forth that power this afternoon. And Lord, we plead for Zion, for each one of thy sent servants and each one of thy hearers. Oh, that there might be the outpouring of thy Spirit, that the word may come in power, in demonstration, not only this afternoon, but as we may be spared later, Lord, and as days may be lengthened out and we may be spared. If it is thy will, Lord, there may be better days seen. We would pray with thy servant of old, recover me. Spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Oh, Lord, is the one here this afternoon feeling so dead, so cold? And yet there is a cry in their heart, Lord, do not let me die like this. Oh, Lord, we pray for that we've sung of. Something, Lord, and it is something very special. It is not something general. It is something particular. It is something very personal. It is something divine, known and felt. To know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know thy love and to feel it in our heart. To know thy mercy, to feel the sweet liberty that mercy brings. And to feel the grief that a sense of blood-bought pardon brings, grief over our sins. Thou hast said, oh, may we yet know in our own individual cases that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. Oh, we crave, Lord, that blessed portion, though so solemn, to be among those whose sins pierce thee. Lord, oh, we beg it. Lord, blessed Spirit, make it known to those this afternoon. Oh, that they are thy friends, that thou art their friend, their brother born for adversity, and those wounds in thy hands are those which thou didst receive in the house of thy friends. Lord, we pray for every grace to be given to this people, the fear of the Lord, a living faith, gospel repentance, a good hope through grace, love, love divine, all loves excelling. And Lord, that humility, that meekness, that submission, Lord, that every grace of thine. Oh, we pray, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. Bless the churches, this church here and congregation, Lord. We thank thee for all thy mercies to them, what thou hast done for them. We thank thee where restoring mercies have been granted to one and another from afflictions. We pray for those yet in affliction, that thou wouldst, if it would please thee, heal and strengthen. And where the affliction must remain, thou wouldst grant that by these things they may live. And by in all these things the life of their spirit may be. And Lord, that thou wouldst bless the families. We seek, Lord, thy rich blessing. According to thy holy sovereign will, thou wouldst call thy children early in life, it might please thee, be the guide of their youth, order their steps in thy word. Above all, Lord, lead them in that way, whereby a young man shall cleanse his ways, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Teach them, Lord, to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein, for they shall find rest for their souls therein. Help parents, Lord, in these difficult days. Do give, Lord, the diligence, Lord, the wisdom, the discernment, and that patience and every grace that is needed in this solemn yet blessed position of being a parent of one who has inherited our nature from us, the parent of children who have never dying souls. O Lord, keep us ever mindful of the worth of a soul. Lord, that we may be enabled in the felt need for ourselves and our children to plead that grace, that mercy which saveth. Do bless deacons. Use them, Lord, to thy honour and glory. Grant help in the services. Bless each of thy ministering servants. Lord, bless pastors. A friend and brother with us here this afternoon, uphold him in his weakness and infirmities. And Lord, do bless him abundantly. We thank thee for maintaining him for so many years in editing the Zion's Witness. And we thank thee, Lord, as we remember how thou hast used that magazine in any of our cases. Lord, all the glory is thine. Lord, could it please thee to spare him and help him to continue. And Lord, in the ministry. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst call and anoint and send forth able ministers of the New Testament. And give to thy church pastors according to thine own heart, which shall feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Lord, do appear, and for our nation and the nations of the earth, restrain the evil, we pray. And Lord, do overrule those in authority. Could it please thee, Lord, to prevent them from doing evil things and cause them to do that which is right? For are not the hearts of all men in thine hand? And Lord, when thou dost permit men in government to do evil things, may we each be given grace to prostrate ourselves before thee, realizing it is thy judgment upon us for our sins. Forgive now what we ask amiss. Where we have failed in asking, do make up in giving. But do help us now. Thy name shall have all the glory. We ask it for thy name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1116. 1116. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it. 'Tis a true and faithful word. Hymn 1116.
Thank you.
conscience on the Lord. I venture to direct you this afternoon to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23. Reading verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, the eternal Son of God came into this world, and then these days that the text speaks of were blessedly and manifestly begun until he was taken after that work was finished to a glory. The eternal Son of God stepped into time. This was essential for the redemption, the salvation of Israel and Judah, that is the whole Israel of God. And do you remember in John 17 perhaps that wonderful prayer of the Saviour to his Father? He said, Father, the hour is come. The hour that was eternally appointed. The hour of his sufferings, his agony, his sin atoning death. And that moment when he would and did cry out, it is finished. And gave up the ghost. In his days. Now that's not to say that there were not days of the Son of Man before that. How wonderfully there were, in the sense that there were days when to his people he was wonderfully revealed. What a day that was when God first preached the Lord Jesus Christ to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, which was promised to bruise the serpent's head. What a wonderful day that was when he said to Noah, come thou into the ark, thou and all thy house. What a wonderful day that was when Abraham on Mount Moriah and on other days saw Christ's day and was glad. What a wonderful day that was when Jacob was given to see God face to face and his life be preserved. Oh, what a day. It was the day of the Son of Man, wasn't it? And we read, he blessed him there. In his days. We have in this statement also the truth that everything is determined by God. He said himself, didn't he, when he was here on earth in the flesh, Your time is always ready. My time is not yet. But haven't some of us known days when his time has come? His time has come to fulfill this blessed truth in our text. And Israel should be saved. Judah should be saved and Israel should dwell safely. The hymn writer puts it beautifully, doesn't he? And you see, if you're a child of God, you will be constrained by him and compelled by him to wait his appointed time. Wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. The time of love will come when each should clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each should say, for me. In his days, this glorious king, this glorious, greater son of David, this glorious branch, in his days. You see, as we read in Isaiah this afternoon, with regard to his sacred, holy humanity, there was a lineage, that is, there was a line of descent. He was truly the son of Mary, and in that sense, because Mary was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and David, he was that promised seed. In thy seed, God said to Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And to David he said, and what a covenant that was the Lord made with him. When he was dying, he said, this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. It was this, that David should have this son that would sit upon his throne forever and ever, so that David would never want a king to sit upon his throne or a priest to stand before him. And the necessity of this will be, I trust, seen as the Lord may enable us to consider this text through to the end. Because the whole of salvation depends upon the truth that the eternal Son of God was made flesh. That there should be a righteousness divine wrought in the nature that had sinned, the nature that had fallen. He did not take a fallen nature. He took sacred, holy humanity in a mysterious, glorious way, such that there was an impossibility of it falling, but such there should be a raising of his people from the ruins of the fall, and the manifestation through the mysterious, glorious person having two natures, the whole Israel of God being brought to be one with God in Christ Jesus, redeemed from their sins by his precious blood, justified entirely by his glorious obedience, being accounted unto them, himself made their Saviour, their Redeemer, they're all and in all, in his days. In his days. The church, at the time Isaiah gave this prophecy, had therefore one to look forward to, days to anticipate. You see, the Lord, when he blesses his people with faith, so much of the exercise of that faith is in anticipation. I think it was the late Mr. Frank Gosden spoke once like this, that how much of the experience of the Lord's people consists of an anticipation. We could refer to it in connection with that blessed grace of hope. And Paul says, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And a believer that heard this promise had something good to wait for, didn't they? Hope long will wait, says the hymn writer, and wait again. And you will find, New Testament believer, that it's the same for you today. With regard to the appearances of the Lord for you, the putting forth of his saving power, the speaking of his saving word, the application of his saving, cleansing blood, and above all else, the bringing of you to that desired haven, to see him as he is, and to be made like unto him in his day. In his days, one above all other. Never has this world seen such an one as him. When the spouse was asked why she was so concerned to find her beloved, what is he? She said, they said to her. And she said, my beloved is the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. No one else can have these words spoken of them in his days. Shall Israel be saved, Judah be saved, and Israel dwell safely. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Though the Lord suffered that rending asunder of the two parts of the tribes of Israel, the ancient tribes, as a chastisement, a judgment because of the sins of the wicked king, yet God, though he divided that land, though he divided those tribes, and sometimes they were found fighting against each other, weren't they? Most solemnly. And yet, God did not disinherit them. Judah shall be saved. Oh, what does it mean? Judah is lost. Now, in this context, I must speak of Judah as representing the whole church of God. Mr. Gadsby, in one of his hymns, I believe it's Mr. Gadsby, speaks of the folly of thinking we can be saved before we're lost. Am I speaking to feelingly lost sinners in this congregation this afternoon? Sinners who have been quickened by the Spirit to know their true condition. You see, the whole human race is lost until they are found by this Blessed One. But very, very few of them know their lost condition. And you see, if we faithfully preach the word of God, we must preach this lost condition. Because in preaching that lost condition, we shall find out the Lord's people. The Lord pronounced a woe to the pastors, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, he speaks a woe unto those pastors that have not sought out the sheep that were lost. They have not fed the flock. What is it to be a lost sinner? Feelingly. It is to feel in some measure one's separation from God by one's sin. That total depravity of our nature. That complete and utter ungodliness. That inability to do one thing right in God's sight. And that inability to find that God against whom we've sinned. To please that God against whom we've sinned. To know that God against whom we've sinned. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke of himself as the good shepherd of his sheep, he spoke of these lost sheep as being the very ones that he was sent for, to find them. And there was no one else could find them. My dear friend, you and I are separated from God by our sins. And there is no way we could possibly find God as our Saviour except he sent his Son to find us as his lost sheep. When the shepherd comes and finds you, my dear friend, then you find God as your friend, as your Father, as your Saviour, as your Redeemer. And how is it? In his days. All those days of his. From his birth to his death. In his days. Judah shall be saved. You see, because in his days he came where Judah was. He came into Judah's nature. He came into Judah's law place. He came into Judah's adversity. He came into Judah's estrangement from God. He came into Judah's grave. And if you ever know, if you have known this blessing of this text, these are the days in which you have known him to be your Saviour. In his days, Judah shall be saved. How beautifully it is set forth in the miracles that Jesus performed. Those days, day after day, at his Father's bidding he went forth. He preached. He spoke to sinners in their homes. His Father drew afflicted cases to himself. And what happened in every single case? By him those people were saved. A completely undeserved salvation. Unmerited. A sovereign one. That woman at the well of Samaria, when she woke that morning, she had no idea that that was going to be the day of her soul's salvation. In his days. Now, have you known a day like that? You may not be able to point to a day, the day when you were born again. But if you've known anything of this text in the fulfillment of it, the Lord came, visited you. It might have been in the services of the Lord's house, and you went in and you'd gone in many days before that. But then that day, through the ministry of the word, it might have been a hymn, the reading, the prayer, the sermon. and the Lord Jesus visited you, like he did in effect that woman at the well of Samaria. And the effect of it was you were saved. Now, what was the condition then when you went into the house of God that day? Lost, feelingly so. Do you come into this chapel like that? Or the chapel that you normally attend, those that are visiting here this afternoon? Do you come into the house of God feeling lost? Feeling unfit to come in? Perhaps even that morning, or if it be an evening service, sometime in that day, you were convinced of having sinned. I remember my late father, I think it was through meeting somebody on the way to the house of God, and he felt he spoke in a way that lacked godly fear, and oh, how he was troubled as he went into the house of God. But before the end of the day, the Lord had wonderfully saved him from that grief which he had as he went into the house of God at the beginning of that day. He had to wait till the evening of that day. Until the Lord blessed him, he wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? You see, that's how Jesus saves Judah. He makes known to them who he is, and what he has done for them, what he has endured for them. This is salvation. To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on him. In his days, Judah should be saved. Saved from her sins. How? He was made sin for her who knew no sin. Saved from the devil. How? Then was Jesus led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And every temptation he stood against with almighty divine power. And he returned, we read, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Saved from the power of sin. It's beautifully illustrated, isn't it, by that woman. And if you are spiritually that woman, bound with a spirit of infirmity, and you cannot in any wise lift up yourself, we read, and when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him, and put his hand upon her and said, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. In his days, Judah should be saved. You see, the salvation is wholly him. The psalmist prayed, didn't he? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And you think of how in the word of God we have those many records of how the Lord appeared unto his people and spoke to them. And by his appearance and by his speaking unto them, they were saved. I want to emphasize this, because it is so vital. If you do not know these days of the Son of Man, you do not yet know salvation. But let me come a little lower. If you find that nothing but one of these days will save you, you can't save yourself by doing this and doing that. People will say to you, you've got to pray more. And oh, that we were given a greater spirit of prayer. But the vital thing is to be visited by the Lord Jesus Christ, to be spoken to by him. And you see, that is what will really give you more prayer. What use is it to tell a poor sinner who says, oh, that I could pray? What use is it to tell them you've got to pray more when they can't? Is that any help? No. Every prayer and every praise rightly offered in his name, he that dictates them is Jesus. He that hears them is the same. In his days. Judah should be saved. I spoke earlier of this anticipation of faith. Oh, when your eye is fixed on the Son. I think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. She said, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. Blessed be his dear name. He is that Saviour that comes skipping over the mountains that you can't get over and the hills that you cannot get over. He comes over them. This is the wonderful thing about this promise. In his days, Judah should be saved. It's not what you and I are going to do. It's what he's going to do. Oh, have you got a doing religion? Or have you got a done religion? Blessed be his dear name. Oh, constantly, politicians speak of what they're going to do. And it seemed to come sweetly to me last week as we were speaking about it again. The falseness of it all. Christ could say, it is done. And oh, what was done. Salvation's work was done. Yet, as the hymn writer said, as we sung at the beginning, yet so much remains to endure. But not so much remains to be done. Nothing remains to be done. It's done. There's no sins to put away. They are put away. There's no law to fulfill. It is fulfilled. There's no conquering of the devil to do. He's conquered. In his days, Judah shall be saved. That beautiful word, saved. How suitable to a lost sinner. It's such a complete word, isn't it? Everything necessary for their salvation is done in his days. So I can, from his word, speak to you this afternoon like this. You cannot be too lost. You cannot be too undone. You cannot have too great a need. You cannot lack too much. Of the two debtors in Jesus' parable to Simon the Pharisee, it was when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Judas should be saved. Saved from his death. I will open your graves and bring you up out of your graves. Saved from all the guilt of the contracted sin. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the feet to the crown of the head, there is nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And Judah is in captivity. But in his days, Judah shall be saved. He is that one anointed by his Father with the Holy Spirit to preach liberty to the captive. Why is it that Jesus Christ alone can preach liberty to the captive? Because he has led captivity captive. By the bands of everlasting love and covenant engagement, he became what the hymn writer spoke of as the infinite captive. Those sins that lay upon him by imputation, and therefore that captivity, he's bound to that cross. Himself he cannot save. Insulting foe, 'tis true, the words a blessed meaning have, though meant in spite by you. In his days, sinner, you are free, he says in his day. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why? What have I done to be freed from this prison? What have I done to be freed from under this curse of this law? Sinner, you've done nothing. I have done it. I have burst the bands asunder. I have burst the gates of the grave. When they came, they saw the stone was rolled away. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Israel should, Judah should be saved. And Israel should dwell safely. You see, this salvation, sometimes it's a providential one. You know, the Lord, he interweaves providential and spiritual things. He does it like this. He convinces a person under a providential trouble that this has come upon them because of their sin. And he convinces them that they cannot ask God to save them. They cannot ask him to pay this bill for them, to provide this food for them, to heal this affliction for them, to deliver them from this trouble in their business or whatever it is. They cannot ask God to deliver them on their own account. But in his days, Judah should be saved. I mentioned earlier, didn't I, that day when Jacob was so blessed at the brook Jabbok. He did have a providential trouble, didn't he? Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. And he thought to deliver himself by strategy, his own strategy. But then the Lord came and wrestled with him. And what began as a providential matter becomes a spiritual matter. And he obtains by the help of the Lord the blessing. I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And now when he goes to meet Esau, by the Lord Jesus Christ he's saved. Esau can't do anything but kiss him with a natural brotherly kiss, not a spiritual one. But he can't do anything against his brother Jacob. But why was Esau so angry with Jacob? Why did he come with 400 men? Because Jacob had sinned against his brother. But in his days, that one that was to bear every one of Jacob's sins. And you see, if he bore every one of your sins, your blood is precious in his sight. That blood of his blood secures your safety. We're coming into this second statement now, aren't we? Israel shall dwell safely. Israel was the name that was given to Jacob. As Israel, he dwelt safely. If he had gone as Jacob, he would have been consumed, but he went as Israel, a prince who hath power with God and with men and hath prevailed. Israel shall dwell safely. Where shall Israel dwell in such safety? In Christ, in this glorious man, in the cleft of the rock. In the sanctuary, in the strong tower, in this man who Isaiah says in chapter 32, shall be an hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest. He shall dwell safely. Oh, my dear friend, have you felt to be in an unsafe dwelling? Did you fear to go to sleep, lest that house should fall on you in the night and your soul be cast into hell? As you walked about this world, you felt the Almighty God looking down upon you with indignation against your sin. And perhaps every loud noise you heard, you trembled at it because you feared this was the coming of the Lord's judgment. You felt so unsafe. You felt so unsafe. Out of Christ. And then the blessed Spirit set forth before you the place of safety. The hiding place. And he put in your heart a cry to be brought into it. And in his time, in his days, when the Lord Jesus appeared unto you, he took you into his house. He took you into himself. He hid you in himself. He brought me to the banqueting house. And his banner over me was love. Israel should dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he should be called the Lord our righteousness. And this is his name. What a name. Every single name that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ is a name above every name. There are many names given to him, aren't there? But surely there isn't a greater one than this, Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. This is his name. The Lord, the eternal God, the Son of God, the Lord who sits upon that mercy seat, the Lord who intercedes for his people on that mercy seat, the Lord who delights to hear their petitions, the Lord who receiveth sinners and eateth with them, the Lord who is truly Lord, the Lord of lords, the Lord over every other Lord. This lordly self of ours, what a blessing when the Lord conquers that and makes himself Lord over lordly self. In your soul's experience, when he makes himself Lord, as known and felt by you, over the adversary, the devil, and over this world, the church said, didn't she? Many lords have had dominion over us. But in his days, this is his name. He will make himself known as the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah said, can you? I thought of that beautiful hymn of Robert Murray McShane's, putting into verse his own experience. He begins with saying he once was a stranger to God and his grace. He didn't feel any danger. Though he attended the house of God, though he knew the gospel in theory, though his friends spoke in raptures of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you, meant nothing to me. But in his days, and in Robert McShane's experience, the Lord Jesus Christ's day came. The Spirit was sent in his name to quicken him into life and convince him of sin. And he trembled and found himself on legal ground, in such debt, in such distress, with no righteousness at all. And he says, he was shown this. Jehovah said, can you? My Saviour must be. Taught by the Spirit that only as he may be favoured to win Christ and be found in him, could he be saved? Could he be right? And then he goes on to speak and concludes that next verse like this. Jehovah said, can you? Is all things to me. This is the name whereby he should be called the Lord our righteousness. The fundamental, blessed, vital truth about it is this. God has eternally purposed that his Son is the righteousness of his people. God has always viewed his church righteous in his dear Son. Then in the glass of his decree, Christ and his bride appeared as one. Her sins by imputation his, while she in spotless splendor shone in his days. Sin cannot be imputed where there is no law. Sin could not be imputed to the Son of God then until he was made of a woman and made under the law in his days. But then that law that was broken by man must be fulfilled by one in man's nature. In his days, every single moment of his life here on this earth. He fulfilled all righteousness. He came saying, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He was without blemish, a divine righteousness in our nature, through that wonderful union of the two natures in one person. All the law in human nature he fulfilled. The mercy, God accounting what he did and what he suffered to his people, the Lord, our righteousness. It's that glorious robe. The returning prodigal had it put on him, didn't he? Bring forth the best robe. Oh, the best. The embroider says the best, the very best. See how God delights in that robe. See how God says of his Son, I am well pleased in him. See how his Son speaks of how he has pleased his Father. I do always those things which please him. But then that last and glorious and tremendous act of obedience, we read he was made obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why at the moment of his death alone, he couldn't say it before, he could say it is finished. He gave up the ghost. Every single part of that law of God in regard to precept and in regard to punishment was finished. The cup of God's wrath was drained. Those then for whom he thus died, drinking that cup, all their unrighteousness is put away, and the righteousness of his glorious obedience complete. But then, we must come to this before we close. This in the Lord's days will be made known to his people. In his days, this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. What is it that gives each one of his people in their souls experience this blessing to have the Lord as their Jehovah Tsidkenu? It's when the Lord visits them with his mighty love, his grace, his compassion, his pity, when the Holy Spirit lifts him up and the sinner believes on him. The hymn writer says, which God imputes and faith puts on. It is the sight of him by living faith that blesses the sinner with the clothing of himself. To see him, Mr. Philpott, I think, in one of his portions, he points out that we, and of course Mr. Philpott includes himself in it, we are inclined to separate the righteousness of Jesus Christ from himself. And our text says, he himself is our righteousness. And so how can we have Jehovah Tsidkenu as our righteousness only as we have him? Only as we know him. Only as he gives himself unto us. And how does he give himself unto us? Some of you have known him to speak to you. And as he spoke to you, he conveyed himself in some measure to your soul, because as he spoke to you, he made it known that he was yours, he is yours, and you are his. What wondrous love, what matchless grace, in this appointment shine. My breaches of the law are his, and his obedience mine. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. It's a complete righteousness. Nothing that the sinner does contributes to this righteousness one iota. Being justified, that is, pronounced righteous and just freely by his grace. And what a mercy that is, for have you and I something that would stand beside this righteousness? Are you in yourself one that can stand beside Jesus Christ? No. There's no room for you and me alongside Jesus Christ. You see that in the Garden of Gethsemane. The hour is too sad. The disciples can't stand beside him. But unknown to them, they were in him. So when they are sleeping and he is praying, what he is doing is accounted to them, and what they are doing is accounted to him. Let me repeat what I said just now. There is no place alongside Christ for a sinner. The place for sinners is in him. So that it's his righteousness hiding forever from God's view. You as you stand in yourself. This is why he could say to the spouse who felt, and it was true, I said recently, when two people speak opposite things like the spouse and Christ did, she said, I am black. Look not upon me because I'm black. And he said, thou art all fair, my love. Now, normally we would say one of those two was wrong. But not in that case. They were both right, but blessedly, Jesus, it was his teaching that made her say what she said and feel it. But blessedly, what he said covered her. Thou art all fair, my love. Oh, this is what you and I need, isn't it? This is what we need to be enabled to preach to people. And we need the Holy Spirit to apply this. And that will stop the working. That will stop the self-righteousness. He that is entered into his rest. And there's no rest without righteousness. He that is entered into his rest, he also ceases from his own works, as God did from his. Because the Lord is the righteousness of his church, she will be presented to himself without spot and blemish, unblameable and unreprovable. But all the wonder of it. This is what will lead to the song of praise to the Lamb that was slain, to him who loved us. We can't understand why. To him who washed us in his own blood, to be praise and honour and glory forever and forever. This is his name, wherewith he should be called the Lord our righteousness. The first view of this enables a sinner by faith to plead that righteousness. Maybe those here this afternoon and you can't say he's mine. But what a blessing if you are given faith to believe. There is my only hope. And what will you do then while that is before your soul in the eye of faith? No more, my God, I boast, no more. Of all the duties I have done, I quit the hopes I held before, and trust the merits of his Son. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Tea will be served shortly after the close of the service on both sides of the chapel. A gentleman's watch has been found in the car park. Hymn number 476. 476. Oh, the delights, the heavenly joys, the glories of the place where Jesus sheds the brightest beams of his o'erflowing grace. Hymn 476, and we'll conclude at verse 7.
we do thank thee for the word and pray thy blessing on it. Raise in power what is sown in weakness, we pray. Keep us safe in the interval. Gather us in thy name this evening, if it be thy holy will. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.